Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Are you out of your mind tonight?
That chick is like on planet I don't know where.
Give me a frickin' break, okay? I have been a frickin' diva for 40 frickin' years.
I think it sucks.
What do you mean? Like Cher?
Welcome to another episode of Share and Retweet, the podcast that dives down the rabbit hole that is Cher's Twitter feed. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Andy Ballock.
And I am another one of your hosts, Justin Porter.
And for only the second time in this podcast's history,
we have a guest.
We have a guest host. Please put your veritable hands together for the one and the only Kirsty Wiebeck.
Yay. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
Good. I'm super excited to delve into Cher's Twitter feed.
Now, have you ever looked or paid attention too much to Cher's Twitter feed before?
And the only time I've gone through it is when you release this podcast.
Really?
Yeah, because I was like, what's happening over there that it warrants a podcast?
Yeah.
What mess?
Why is this happening to me and to all of us?
Yeah, I think that's exactly
the question.
Yeah, great. Do you follow Cher much as an individual, as a pop icon?
Look, sure.
Sure.
I just went,
no.
I know. I went through the full spectrum of emotions and just panicked.
Wow.
Yeah. I just looked at Andy's face, who looked like a disappointed dad, as I was about to say no. So I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
Christmas is back on.
I think there's a lot of people who can enjoy Cher's Twitter feed and not know a lot about Cher. I think that can be universally said. So
yes.
That's okay.
Okay, great.
Even
thank
if you don't
you.
Know too much about her, we learned a lot just from doing this podcast.
Yes, I've learned more than I ever need to know about Cher now.
Great. All right. Well, that makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah, and if you have any questions throughout the time whilst we're recording, just pop your hand up, Kirsty, and we'll be happy to try to answer the questions. But I can almost guarantee you, we do not have answers.
No. Usually we do not.
Okay, good. I'll be like, what was Cher's relationship like with her great-grandmother as a child? Oddly enough, she's left it off Twitter.
Yeah, weird.
We don't know. If it's not there, we don't know. We don't know.
We're happy to assume, though, and make some bold assumptions.
Yeah, and we will. And we will and we do.
Good.
Are you ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cher, it's a new Cher tweet.
So the first tweet that we're going to look at today is from the 23rd of the 2nd, 2019, as we're calling it our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ's year.
Yeah, it's Cher's year.
Every year is Cher's year. Cher has tweeted, okay, looking for favourite ABBA songs for Volume 2.
Yeah, so she's on the hunt. She's already made one ABBA album.
Yes.
And she's looking for songs for the second one.
Now, so she just does covers of ABBA?
She just does covers for ABBA. So the last album that she released was called Dancing Queen, and it was just ABBA covers, because she was in Mamma Mia 2 and she got to sing Fernando with Andy Garcia.
And she really liked it. She decided, I want to do more of this.
I want to do a whole album of ABBA covers.
And she did.
Great.
And it is her second highest selling album of all time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it did really well. So she's obviously doing another one.
She's doing another one.
And it's coming out, and
why
it's coming out this year.
Wow. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right?
Yeah.
The thing that I love the most is that Cher, she's taken to Twitter to ask for suggestions, and she takes these suggestions from her Twitter fan base very seriously.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. I hope she calls it Abba Dabba Doo.
Oh, yes. Yes. Please. Can you tweet to Cher and suggest that, please?
Yeah, I feel like you've got more weight than we do, so please.
Absolutely. Oh,
I want that. As always, the most delicious part of this podcast is looking at the responses of people who follow Cher.
And this is the first time that these responses actually surprised me.
Really?
I have to say that. I looked at these and I was genuinely really surprised. Which I know I shouldn't be. Shame on me. Shame everywhere. Just shame. Shame. A lot of shame.
Shame on Cher.
Shame on Cher. But these replies.
What shocked you about them?
I just expected people to at least know. Well, why don't you read them?
So,
and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah. So the first response is from Shonda Letournau. And Shonda has responded, the name of the game.
Which Cher has replied to because... obviously, and she said, it's on my ABBA CD. Because it is. It's on the first album.
Yeah. And then Michelle at my 19641 has responded, SOS.
Which is also on the first album. And Cher has replied, it's on the first one.
Yeah, I can feel the tension in that tweet.
Yes. It's on the first
did
one.
Did you even read my tweet?
Am I yelling into the void? Yeah.
I thought this was Twitter, not the void.
Yeah, and like, don't be on my Twitter if you haven't bought the first album, piece of the shit.
Why are you weighing in on this tweet if you've not listened to the first album?
Yeah. Or not even listened, but just research what was on the first one before you suggest something for the second one.
Do you know what I want to do? I want to go on and reply to her and list the full track listing.
Just really break Cher. Yeah. How much will it take to break
Kirsty Wiebeck poking the bear?
Like, it's so weird. Cher deleted her Twitter account.
Are you trying to bully Cher? Boy, we picked the wrong guest.
No, I love her. I'm just testing her resilience.
She is resilient.
I know.
She's 72.
Yeah.
She is resilient get out. Yeah.
And I feel like she would come for you. If you came for her, just from what we know of Cher on Twitter, she'll come back.
She's so happy to clap back.
Oh, she'll clap back in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, that's why it was fun for me to say I was going to do the full track listing while we all knew full well that I would never, ever.
If anything, your account would get deleted because Cher owns Twitter.
Yeah, Cher's in charge of Twitter.
She would have you removed.
Oh, no.
So the next tweet from Meg loves Christine Baranski.
Same.
Yep. At always Baranski. Same.
Also always
Baranski. I love Christine. Yeah.
She's the best.
This is a woman who has a very clear brand. And her brand is Christine Baranski.
Yeah, and she's staying on brand with her tweet as well.
Because the tweet is, give us what we deserve and do Does Your Mother Know with Christine Baranski, please.
I don't understand that. Is there a semicolon missing?
Oh.
What does it mean?
Welcome to Twitter. What does it mean?
Oh, is Give Us What We Deserve a song?
No,
I think they're
Does Your
saying,
Mother Know
Does Your Mother Know
song.
Is an ABBA song.
Oh.
So they're saying, give us what we deserve.
Oh, Does Your Mother Know.
Yes. Yeah.
And with Christine Baranski is in a duet.
Yeah.
They did it.
Kirsty's look.
I'm so upset.
You're like, what is this?
This tweet's broken me.
Oh, God.
Oh, this is the line.
Oh, no. Welcome to the podcast.
So did Christine Baranski do Does Your Mother Know with someone in the film?
I have no idea.
Is that why she specifically requested this song with Christine Baranski?
No, I think she's just requested the song because she's a big fan of Christine Baranski.
Okay, but you don't know if she did that song.
I don't know. I don't fact check a lot of these things, Justin.
No. Yeah, I know that. I'm pretty sure she did the song.
By a lot of. You mean... any of.
Yeah. This podcast is not based around facts at all.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know why I would even try to have something factual.
My all-time favorite response to any of this is Beth Heinley, at Beth Heinley, has responded, all the food ate since first grade alive in your body. Mm-hmm. Now, Kirsty.
Now, I will just say,
yeah,
that's not an Abba
no.
song.
No.
That was going to be my
yeah. question. Yeah. Just to clarify, nothing in this sentence is an Abba song. Grade alive in your body is not an Abba song. No.
Even your body or all the food.
Yeah.
Or since first grade. None of those are Abba songs.
No.
How great would it be if that sentence were an Abba song? Oh.
Like Benny and Bjorn's first single before they got the other two on board.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they came out and were like, first of all your song names are too long. We're not going to be a part of this group unless you cut it down.
You got to cut it down.
You got to cut
but
it down.
But having said that, there were some amazing riffs and structures on All the Food Ate Since First Grade Alive in Your Body.
That'd be my karaoke song.
That's your go-to now? Yeah. All the food ate since first grade alive in your body. Also, what a terrifying concept. The food that you ate since first grade is just sitting in your body alive now.
Yeah, it's not just there. It's alive. That's the scary
yeah,
part.
Yeah, the alive bit.
Yeah, that's yeah. The, where it gets a little nightmarish for me.
Well, I've always endeavoured for my food to not be alive at any point in the process, least yeah, of all when
certainly
it's
by the time it gets
me.
To me.
Or, you know, like,
I don't want it to be alive once it gets to me. I don't want it to come back to life while it's in me. Yeah, I don't want it to be in a coma, for example. I don't want to eat a fish that's in a coma and then it wakes up a week later in my stomach.
In your stomach.
Or 20 years later.
Yeah.
Just any period of time.
Well, yeah, 20 is worse even, I think.
Yeah.
I think that something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
If you're bringing food back to life in your body.
Also, is Beth Hindley okay?
I'm not sure.
I mean, if this is about her, no. She's not okay.
No. Yeah, not even slightly.
So the next tweet we're going to talk about is from February 22nd of this year, of course. And Cher has tweeted, "Loved the monkeys. They were cute and funny. Guess they were older than me. Just texted Polly and said, well, Polly, guess we're going to die. I don't feel like it. How about you?" That's very morbid.
It is very morbid. Now, this is because Peter Tork from the Monkees died last week.
Yes. Yes, I used to love watching the Monkees when I was growing up.
See, my mum loved watching the Monkees. What were you watching the Monkees on? I'm older than you.
Yeah, I was about to say. I just had this panic.
It where I was like, can I reveal too much? Surely it's not a live performance that you were watching. Like, I remember seeing them on the Ed Sullivan Show.
What sort of time jumper are you?
That it used to be like on after school every day.
Oh, yeah,
the Monkees
yeah.
And that and the Partridge Family.
Oh,
and
like,
my mum
like
was
repeat,
mad
like
for
repeat
them.
Stuff.
Oh, absolute
yeah, okay.
Repeat.
Just making, just making sure there wasn't some. Yeah, weird...
I don't know anymore. I've been doing this podcast for a long time, and some people seem to be able to time jump.
Not I. They were repeats.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Were they good?
That makes sense.
I enjoyed it, but I was also in a hostage crisis because Mum had the remote. Like, and she'd just watch them all back to back. And like the Partridge Family and the Brady Bunch. Like, no wonder my brain is rotten.
I also thought for a very brief second, you spent a good deal of your childhood in a hostage situation.
Yeah,
with
that's
Mrs.
Where I
Weebeck.
That was ending.
Yeah. And what a weird situation that, like, you couldn't see your family, but you did watch a lot of Partridge Family and the Monkees.
Well, it was only a hostage crisis insofar as Mum like would have the TV on
right
all the time with all the shows she liked, which weren't the same kind of shows that, say, a seven-year-old child would enjoy, for example.
They are not. No. They're not at all. So, unfortunately, Peter Tork has passed away. Cher is upset about this.
Yeah,
rightly
sure,
so.
Sure.
And Polly is her best friend. She yes. talks about her all the time. She's in a lot of her tweets.
Okay.
That's the information. That just
Polly's
fills in
her
the
best friend.
Yes. Yeah. So Daryl Kevin has chimed in at DS99 and said, Cher, I hope you don't die for at least 100 more years. I got to see Peter talk in concert in 2016 as the Monkees were on tour. They made several catchy tunes.
Several.
Oh, righto, Daryl. I think it's safe to say that the Monkees can attribute all of their success to the wild spruiking of Daryl Kevin. Come to their concert. They've made several catchy tunes.
Yes. Yeah. What is the weirdest way to phrase it? Oh, several catchy tunes, I'd say.
Yeah, the majority was garbage, but...
Oh, several of them. Quite catchy.
Quite catchy.
Bops, even.
Yeah, not good.
No.
Catchy.
Catchy.
Yeah, catchy. Yeah. Yeah, they'd stick in your head, whether you wanted them to or not. Mm.
Yes. Peter Seven Neville at Seven Neville has responded, "My beautiful, dearest Cher, I just saw your show recently. You have another 70 or 80 years, at least. Fabulous show, by the way. XOXO.
How offensive. Like...
I love that as this recording goes on, you get more angry and you're the loveliest human I know. Like, this has really made me upset.
Yeah. Now you know why I go into this aggressive. You have to have a thick skin from the beginning.
Yeah.
Or you get really worked up.
Mm. I'm just thinking, like, in this day and age, like, with how much we've trashed this place, no one wants to be around until they're 142.
No.
Not least of all 152.
Yeah, right?
Like, another 70 or 80 years. But what will her quality of life be, Seven Neville?
Yes. Answer me, Seven Neville.
Peter doesn't really think about it. He just doesn't really think about other people very much. He's very selfish. I feel like this is very selfish. He wants him around. He wants Cher around.
Yeah. I would say someone that's not selfish is the next response, which is from Devron Minion at Minion Devron, who has responded, "Mr. Daniels, try writing Juzzy story into the show, suspend him, then bring him back. Pay him more money. He is the only family member of the Lions that really sings and makes hits. Just imagine what he will write after his spanking from life and held accountable but forgiven." Angel emoji.
Wow. Devron's responded to a different tweet.
Yeah. Welcome to the podcast.
Yes.
A bit of a spanking from life.
Mm. Now, I can only assume that this is...
Jussie Smollett.
Yeah, that this is the reference to Jussie Smollett.
Yeah. Like in that show that he's currently on.
In Empire, yeah.
In Empire, like, into Empire,
yeah.
That Jussie's character feigns being bashed. And then suspend him and then bring him back. So we're going to punish. This is meta punishment.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's Mr. Daniels is my question.
Yeah. Mr. Daniels has a lot of authority.
Yeah. And listens to Twitter too much. If he's taken questions like this.
Well, taking things like this from Cher's Twitter feed, no less. It's not even addressed to his Twitter feed. It's to Cher.
Imagine, though, if Minion Devron is actually responding to Mr. Daniels' tweet accidentally on Cher's tweet, and Mr. Daniels has sent out into the Twitterverse, "Hey, guys, what should I do about Jussie Smollett?"
What should I do? Help me. I'm at a loss. I've never had something like this happen. Someone from Twitter give me some advice.
Oh, thank God. Here's where the plot thickens. Kirsty and Justin... Because I know before I said I don't do any research, I dove a little bit deeper into this because I was so confused. And it turns out Devron Minion has not just sent this tweet to Cher, but he has also just tweeted it. Not to anyone, just tweeted it.
So he's...
So there's no background context. He's just like...
None.
He's like, righto. And does he know Mr. Daniels? Or is Mr. Daniels just...
Mr. Daniels is probably head of the network. That or the show producer or someone that has some kind of authority over what's going on.
Yeah, sure. Over being able to write Jussie's story into
Otherwise, it's just a ludicrous request. It's just crazy.
I think it's got legs, actually. A bit of meta punishment.
This is the tweet that doesn't get you? This hasn't broken you? I thought this was going to be it.
I think I'm already too far gone.
All right, great.
My favorite response from this is from Jake, at Jake Jaxer, who just replies, "This is Elton John." Yeah. End of tweet.
Yeah, it's not. It's I not. Mean, it might it's be. Not.
It's not.
I think what's happened is Elton John has gone to reply to Cher and has hit return prematurely and was about to explain that he's tweeting from his nephew's account.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of other information that should be in this tweet, but he just sent it too soon.
Yeah. This is Elton John.
This P.S. This is Elton John.
Yeah. Are you with Mr. Daniels?
We need to talk about Jussie Smollett.
Urgently.
Yeah, I'm tweeting from my nephew's account. P.S. Send. He's done that thing where he's highlighted it all and accidentally deleted everything except for P.S. Yeah. This is Elton John.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, now we know that Elton John is in charge of a network.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The next tweet comes from the 20th of the 2nd, 2019, and Cher has tweeted, "What a wonderful world emoji this would be if punctuation and Cher were acquaintances. Star emojis, question mark, comma, full stop, quotation mark, ampersand, dash, semicolon, exclamation mark, comma, ellipses. May I introduce you to Cher? ... Lotsa, four-leaf clover emoji."
Yeah,
so I don't know where this is coming from for Cher, but we all know that Cher doesn't really use or seem to believe in punctuation of any kind.
Mm, it's an unnecessary formality.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people's chagrin.
Correct.
Ourself included.
Yeah. She has dyslexia.
Yes.
But also loves emojis. Emojis for her are like her hieroglyphics. So lots of four-leaf clover means lots of luck, which is pretty simple.
So the first response is from James Yeager at TLB James. And he says, "I'm a professional copy editor by trade and your style doesn't bother me in the least." Well, thank God, James. "In fact, I like to think of your tweets as delightful little puzzles to solve. Don't change a thing."
See, that's
so nice. I really like that.
It is kind. Also,
why do I sense a but?
No, but also, no, I agree. It's kind. However, they're not very difficult puzzles.
Well,
he's this not talking one about isn't. This one.
There are some that
they're doozies.
The only way we know what she means is because we've been doing this podcast for 300 years.
Oh, so you speak Cher now.
Yes, gotcha. You have to.
Gotcha. We try to.
Yeah, you absolutely gotcha. Have to.
Okay. Well,
but I
okay.
love that. They are puzzles to solve.
Okay.
So I think he's right on track.
All right, James.
Absolutely. Davey Destrato at Azurazel has responded, "Your words are too powerful for mere mortals."
Ooh. Mm.
I agree. Cher is a god. She's the great giver.
And if she provides punctuation, you're welcome. If she doesn't, you're welcome.
It's fine.
Either way, you're welcome.
Yeah.
You will accept it.
Yeah, just enjoy.
Yeah, get on board.
Thank the giver. Walk away before she decides to slaughter you.
Yes. Just
get out of there.
Yeah, and the slaughter could come at any time.
Any time.
We don't know. It's come in the middle of the night before.
I like, though, we've got at Bad Poems, who has actually written a poem about this for us.
Hmm.
And he said, he or she, I don't know, "For spelling and punctuation, the hashtag neurotypical are tough. For brilliant imagination, let us hashtag dyslexic strut our stuff."
Now, I really like this, but does this not mean that spelling and punctuation are hard for neurotypicals, and also neurotypicals don't have brilliant imaginations because they're not dyslexic? So is this just a lose-lose for neurotypicals?
Yeah, neurotypical suck is what
I think is fuck off. Neurotypical. Dyslexics rule the world. We'll give you punctuation if we want to. Otherwise, no. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you've nailed it. They're just like, fuck off neurotypical. And you know what? There's a lot of wisdom in that.
Yeah. I'm not a neurotypical.
Yeah, I am, and I'll see myself out.
Are you? No, you're not. You're a weirdo. That means I've known you for a very long time. So,
Well, I mean, I guess what I was trying to say is that I don't have dyslexia. But you're right. That's
not where neurotypicals. It's not just that.
Yeah, no, I know. I do understand that. I just decided to put myself under an umbrella.
Well, that'll be the last time you do that, isn't it?
Called out on podcast. I had it coming.
And finally, Burlesque2@2varia2 has responded all in capitals. Seems to me you already know how to use the punctuation. Being a singer, you would want to write the way your soul is projecting. It may not be perfect fucking ass English 20-page term paper, but it is perfect art, which has many variables and is circumambient.
Wow. Imagine in the context of this tweet using a triple word score like that.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, burlesque has a very high words with friends score.
Yeah.
Yeah, huge. And just came to this tweet to express that. Yeah.
To really rub it in all our faces.
Yeah, I'm here to shout at you in capital letters with my very inclusive language that most people will not understand. Regardless of what their neuro situation is.
Well done, Burlesque. You've confused all of us.
Yeah, I'm upset.
Kirsty is more upset than ever.
Follow the follower. So our follower this week is actually in the studio with us. It is our guest, the one and only Kirsty Wiebeck.
Yay!
It's me. I'm still here.
Thank you so much for coming today.
My pleasure.
Talk to me about your Twitter experience. Because you've had a lot of Twitter experience now.
Yeah, you have, just to put it in perspective for you listening, you have tweeted 26,000 times.
Wow.
Did you know that?
Just to put it into perspective for me, forget the listeners.
You're a chatty Cathy.
I need a hobby.
Yeah, just bang, bang, bang. You're just shooting them out.
And my Twitter account only opened on Tuesday last week.
We've had those followers.
Yeah, we know people like that.
Literally like 3 months and they've tweeted like 30,000 times.
Oh, wow. Okay, I feel better then. Okay, great.
Yeah, and you've got over 4,000 followers, which is way more than we have.
Mm. Well done.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and your tweets are really fun. You have a really strong... fun presence on Twitter.
Oh, great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And lots of punctuation, lots of, it's very grammatically sound. I can always tell what you mean.
Yeah, I can understand every tweet that you send out.
And there's not too many all capitals.
Not a lot shouting. Of screaming. It's really refreshing, actually.
Thank you. And we mean that. Thank you so much. Have you ever had any like weird Twitter experiences?
Probably daily. I mean, the first thing that popped into my head, I guess, is, I mean, Justin saying that it's, you know, that it's often quite fun, the things that I tweet out, and I'm a stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole point, is that I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do write jokes on Twitter and, you know, build up more of a following and also test things out that I might want to do on stage.
So you actually use Twitter as kind of a testbed for comedy stuff?
Yeah, quite frequently, yeah.
Do you feel it's kind of an extension of your brand rather than kind of a social medium for you? It's more like business than personal?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, right. Like I have had a Twitter account for years and years but rarely used it until probably 18 months, 2 years ago when I was like, oh, I'm going to start using this properly for comedy. And then, and that's when 26,000 tweets just spewed out of me.
Whoopsies!
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, it's not totally untrue because if I go back, if I scroll through your feed, I'm going to do this right in front of you.
Yeah.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that you tweeted 20 hours ago.
Whoa.
They're all marked.
What are you doing
hours
asleep?
Ago. And then there's, let's see, another 4 or 5 that are tweeted 21 hours ago. Another one that's 23 hours ago. So that just in a very small amount of time, you tweeted.
Smashed them out.
Yeah, you tweet in chunks.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's usually when I'm writing. So I'm working on my comedy festival show at the moment, and then I'll have a bunch of ideas, and I'll be like, oh, I'll chuck them up on Twitter and see if any of these premises are funny.
Yeah, right.
And then I go back through my Twitter account, like around comedy festival time, and like pull out the ideas, and then I'll start like working on them
on
stage.
I love that. Tell us about your show.
Yeah.
Okay, so my show is called Chipper this year, and the name came from someone described me as Chipper a few years back, and I was and I was just like, yeah, all right, I'll take that.
Yeah, I having known you for like years and years, 100% agree with that description.
Great, thank you.
No word has ever been more on Kirsty Weirbeck brain than Chipper.
Well, I was delighted by it, and I was like, oh, one day I'll use that as a show title. So I did this year because I couldn't think of anything else.
Right.
It is literally just a feel-good show. There's a bunch of stories in there, like stacks of jokes. And when I was writing it, the only goal I had in mind was that I just wanted people to walk away feeling great after.
Great.
That's so good. I love that.
Yeah. No deep, dark and meaningful message or anything like that. It's just like, lol, here's a bunch of silly stuff that I think's really funny and I think you will as well. So sucked in, you've bought a ticket. You've got to endure it.
In your face.
Yeah. You rookie, you bought a ticket and now you must suffer.
And I've seen a lot of your comedy before and it is all that. There's never any punching down. It is all just joy, silly, fun. Like, you're always the subject of your own jokes.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And then,
yeah.
I've always walked out of it and just gone, I feel good.
Yeah,
oh, that was a good. That was a good hour. That was good. That was nice.
Oh, that's great.
Now, when can we see it? How do we get tickets?
Yeah, awesome. I'm playing at the Imperial Hotel, which is at the top of the CBD in Melbourne, and I'm doing a full run from March 27th to April 21st, and it's at 7:30 p.m. And you can either look me up on the socials, and my tickets are like plastered all over there at the moment, or the Comedy Festival website, comedyfestival.com.au, search for Kirsty Weebeck, or you can just Google for try booking and book through that way. Ah. But yeah, Kirsty Weebeck in Chipper.
Yeah, and we'll have a link to your socials on our socials when this episode comes out. So.
Yeah, thanks, legends. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Should be easy.
Do you enjoy the act of writing your shows?
Yeah. I love it.
Great.
I love it. I think the thing I love the most about it is usually when I'm writing a show, I'll like get halfway through the process and then I'll be like, oh God, there's that hilarious thing that I totally forgot about. I've got to jam that in somewhere now. Like,
nice.
And it'll make me like reflect on all these things that I've forgotten about in recent times. And I'll be like, oh God, everything's hilarious.
I just have this like wonderful image of you sitting at a laptop for hours chuckling to yourself.
Yeah.
And that honestly fills me with joy.
Maybe that'll be my show next year, is just me recording me during the process just laughing, and then I'll just play that on a big screen for an hour.
Well, that's your Fringe show.
Yeah.
Easy. It's definitely Fringe, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
How long did it take you to write Chipper?
Well, it's very kind of you to assume that it's finished.
Okay. How long ago did you start writing Chipper?
Yeah.
I assume it'll be done
by the 27th
comedy festival. Yeah, on like the 75th showing of it. I actually started writing Chipper. I had a lot of the ideas nailed down for it, like probably in September, October last year. I started working on stage on some of the ideas, which is like unheard of for me.
Mm.
Like that's
early?
So early. Yeah. Appreciate that again, that you've got that faith in me. Usually it's like 4 days out and I'm like, oh, an hour's not long, is it?
I could have a chat for an hour.
Yeah, I mean,
how hard can it be?
Yeah, I've got a 45 second intro and then I've just got to pad out the middle.
Yeah. I love that. And that is all the time that we have today, dear listeners. Thank you so much, Kirsty Wiebeck, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Did you enjoy it?
I had a hoot. It was very fun.
Okay. It's silly, isn't it?
It is. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I love it so much. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials, and you can have a chat to us on Facebook, on Instagram, and Twitter at Share and Retweet.
That's right. And rate and review us on Apple's podcast app or wherever you get your podcast from, be it LinkedIn or PodSheets or
we have a Pinterest.
Gigimo is our own proprietary platform.
Yeah, it's great. A podcast streaming service and an Apple Cora.
Oh, wonderful.
It's anything you want.
It's also a Stargate.
It's everything. And don't forget to follow Kirsty Wiebeck on all of her socials at Kirsty Wiebeck.
Yes, correct.
And Wiebeck is Wiebeck.
See, Justin does research.
Yeah, Justin gets
just me. Just a little bit. Just enough to get me by.
Great. As always, I've been one of your hosts, Mr. Andy Ballack.
I've been the other one of your hosts, Justin Porter.
See you later.
Have a good night.
See you.